Friday morning, May 23rd. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today, the podcast. Adam Azer, Al Melchior, and Scott White going to help you set your lineup for Week 9. We will not have a standard show on Monday. We're going to have a mailbag show that will be recorded today. I want to thank everybody for sending in your questions. Got a lot of them. That'll be a good little mailbag show. Fantasybaseball at CBSI.com. I do want to read some emails today. Fantasy Baseball Today, the video show should be fun. John Heyman's joining us live noon Eastern time to talk about the major storylines, including Prince Fielder, and to talk about the 25 best starts. Was it biggest surprises?
Yeah.
Biggest surprises of the year.
It's a lot of surprises.
That column's going to be up on CBSSports.com later today. Well, by the time you hear this, it'll probably be up. And he's going to talk about it on the video show, so that should be fun. Al, you look busy.
I am busy.
What are you doing? What the heck are you doing, Al?
Well, instead of, you know, serving the podcast listener and paying, you know, full attention,
yeah,
I'm trying to figure out what the heck to do with Mark Burley in my week 9 rankings.
Oh, wow. What a conundrum.
It is.
Pretty good.
He's working on the pitching planner during the podcast.
Good for you.
That is dedication to the craft.
Unless
the craft is podcasting.
Yeah, but no, the craft is fantasy analysis, so I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, it's a small investment in time to do a better pitcher segment later on in this podcast.
There you go. And we will get to that. Two-star pitchers.
A-plus for the rationalization.
Best and worst hitting matchups. And thoughts on Burley. All right, what's your dilemma here?
I don't know where to put it. He'll be in my bubble group this week, but I'm just not sure which side, because, you know, we got the pivot pitcher there. I mean, we have 6 above and 6 below, and it's an interesting group of bubble guys this week. And I'm just, Burley's been awesome.
And Tampa Bay and Kansas City at home.
Yeah, I like the matchups, even though I don't like Burley as much at Rogers Center. I like those matchups.
Do we all agree that if you could sell high on Mark Burley, you should?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's already kind of regressed in some ways. His whip now is 1.22, so just that compared to the ERA, you're thinking this doesn't jibe. And the thing is, he hasn't given up home runs like he usually does. He's usually a pitcher who suffers from that, and right now I think he's given up like 2 or 3 all season, so that's going to catch up to him eventually.
7 innings, 2 runs, 5 strikeouts, no walks yesterday at Boston.
You know what I'm going to do? I finally decided. I know I'm getting ahead of myself because we're going to talk about pitchers later. I'm going to put him on the lower half of the bubble list, and I'll explain why.
Okay. Big news, Prince Fielder likely going to have season-ending neck surgery to repair a herniated disc. And Jurickson Profar re-injured his shoulder and is going to be out another 8 to 12 weeks. So, time to drop Jurickson Profar, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, unless you just have an empty DL spot if that happened. But, yeah, he had already,
But is it time to pick up a bad odor or odor?
Well, yeah. You tell me.
Well, I wrote an analysis yesterday. I think so in deeper leagues, even though he really – and I'm sorry. I have to do this. He's been stinky so far. only 28 at-bats, been dealing with a wrist issue. So now that he's got this extended window to, A, get healthy, B, adjust to major league pitching, I think there's some deep league value there later on.
You know who I like even more in the Texas lineup, though?
Oh, I know.
Who may enter the Texas lineup with Prince Fielder being out for the year is
Kendrys Morales.
No, but that did cross my mind.
Rangers
did go after Kendrys Morales, it would kind of ruin this player.
Yeah, because is this something that would, you know, be a decision for fantasy owners?
Yes, it might be a choice. Yes, very good.
He's batting under 200.
He is batting under 200, but he hasn't gotten regular playing time, and as we all know, players breaking into the big leagues need regular bats, or they're probably going to hit under 200. But what he has done well, both the minors and so far in the majors, is draw walks. And he also has shown good power at times in the minors. It was a little inconsistent, but most scouts still think he's going to be a power hitter in the big leagues. So you're talking about a potential, maybe as much as an 850 OPS guy if he hits well, entering the lineup here. So I'm not saying like he's a must-add in all leagues or anything, but if you're in a 5 outfielder league and you look on the waiver wire and you're just like, there's nothing out here, might be worth taking a flyer on choice.
I said it a few days ago, I think Kendrys Morales, 25% owned, and just seems like with all the people stashing Polanco and Tavares, would you guys rather stash Morales or those outfielders? Mm. Hey, look, Seattle needs a first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Texas needs a first baseman now. The amateur draft is early June, and after that, teams don't need to give away a first-round pick to sign Morales.
Who do you mean? Who did you mean, those outfielders?
Polanco and Tavares.
Oh, okay, yeah. You did set that up.
Sorry.
Well, here's the thing, because I just recently dropped Morales in one league and had dropped him a few weeks back in another league. So based on that and based on if I had those two other prospect outfielders that I wouldn't drop them right now if I had them. But as I think about it, yeah, I would rather stash Morales because I feel like he is a sure thing to give me production I can use.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, just wanted to throw that out there. All right, let's move on. Ryan Braun left with a side injury. He just came off the DL with an oblique injury. It is the same side, so he may have re-injured it. And he said he wasn't 100%. They rushed him back because Aramis Ramirez was out. That was dumb.
Oh, it was. I'm as a Braun owner myself, recently,
you have gotten made Braun totally owner. Screwed in that trade.
I'm having a hard time talking to you.
With no fault of your own.
Yeah.
But ever since I traded you Ryan Braun for Carlos Gomez, he's been hurt.
He's been a walking injury, specifically an oblique injury, and I do anticipate him going on the DL. So hopefully me getting Adam LaRoche off this next week will help soften that blow a little.
Email of the day number one is from Daniel. He says, "Hi, Adam, Adam, and Adam. If only we had three Adam Azers doing this podcast." Now that is how you kiss up to get your email read on the air.
I would listen to that podcast.
I would not. It would just be people yelling at each other all the time.
Charlie,
the Shield is better than the Wire. Charlie Blackmon is the real deal. He's a top 30 outfielder. He's definitely going to be 20-20 this year, probably 30-30. Plays half his games at Coors. He bats leadoff and has over 30 RBIs, second in the NL on average, etc. The guy can play ball. What's up with Alan Hurk's rankings on Blackmon? Move him up. Scott has him rated the highest. Adam keeps these guys in check. I dropped Dominic Brown in a Roto League that I have Blackmon in.
Yeah.
It's kind of a separate thought.
That seems like, If I was an English teacher, I'd scratch out that last sentence.
Do I have to yell at Al for having Charlie Blackmon too low? Scott's got him 28th. Al, he got 31st. Herc has him 40th.
You say that like that's some kind of
no. You
crime
three spots
humanity.
Lower than Scott. I don't know why he's calling you out.
He took us all to task. He just said Scott.
You have him 40th in points.
Least punishment. Yeah.
I don't really see why. I just thought it'd be fun to discuss Charlie Blackmon again, since he's not, like, currently smoking hot for once.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be 30-30, first of all. I do think he's ahead of the power pace he can reasonably maintain. But I want to put 20-30 past him with a high batting average, and that's an elite outfielder as it is. I know I don't have him quite in elite territory. I have him more in the Nelson Cruz. Who else is there? Nelson Cruz and Cespedes. Second tier outfielder, because they are rest of season rankings and he's so far ahead of pace already that if he does slow down like we expect him to, it's going to be a little less than elite. But I think overall, the total package, I know he wasn't exactly calling out me, but I do agree this is a player you can trust to start every week and should be happy you own.
Do you agree?
Yeah, obviously not.
Why? Although, three spots lower.
Well, yeah, no, but in Roto, I mean, I think are
points. You have him 40th.
Points, I have him 40th. Yeah. So, and I mean, I don't know. I actually feel like that's going to sound crazy to a lot of people who are buying into him this year. I feel like that's kind of generous, given that he's come totally out of nowhere, and there's still a lot of season left, and I'll play the Dickerson card again. That he's got competition there. It's not like if he hits a rough stretch that the Rockies don't have somebody else to turn to. And I just feel like Weiss is the type of manager that could pull the plug.
Al, I got to tell you something.
Tell me something.
You bought yourself a lot of credibility with all this Seth Smith stuff. So you say whatever you want and don't worry if it's going to sound.
This is carte blanche, huh?
Oh, yeah. Because he homered again yesterday.
Wait until I talk about Kyle Davies later in the show. That's
okay.
I'll wear that welcome mat thin.
Let's get to the standouts from yesterday. And I know Grant Balfour is probably the hottest topic of conversation other than Prince Fielder, but we have a little bullpen section coming up next, so I will eliminate Balfour from our Thursday standouts and ask you guys who you want to talk about from yesterday.
Well, it's always a dangerous question to ask, Adam.
I'll lead off. Henderson Alvarez. Sometimes he's the best pitcher in the world. Yep. Sometimes he's quite ordinary. He's owned in 48% of leagues, which I guess reflects that. Alvarez, 7 scoreless innings, 4 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks against Philadelphia. Not a good strikeout-to-walk ratio. He does have 2 complete game shutouts, though, this season. 48% owned for Henderson Alvarez. Too low, pars just right. What do you think?
I think about just right. If I've got to pick a side, I'd say maybe a little too high. Because you're just not going to get strikeouts from him, and you're not going to get consistency. And the great Michael Hercom made a very nice point yesterday as we were talking about the blog post that I wrote that we talked about, I think not here, but on the show yesterday, about pitchers that are really good either at home or the road, but not the other.
Right.
And he said, why didn't you include Henderson Alvarez in that list of pitchers who are very good at home and not at home, not away from home?
Okay.
So he had a good point there. Alvarez is tailor-made for Marlins Park, pitched really well there, but he's got very limited appeal elsewhere.
Did he have good splits at home last year too?
I'm almost positive he did. I'll look it up.
If
we can add any predictability to the way he performs, that would suddenly make him go from useless to useful in my eyes, because it's such a wide divide between his good starts and his bad starts. He's either throwing a near no-hitter or giving up 12 hits and 7 runs, you know? So yeah. If you don't know which it's going to be anytime he goes out there, you just never can start him.
Well, I think you look at his really good starts for Henderson Alvarez and the Phillies yesterday. They're not a very good lineup. The Mets twice. They're not a very good lineup. Seattle was another complete game shutout, not a very good lineup, but at the same time, San Diego lit him up. The Braves got to him, the Giants got to him, the Rockies got to him. So maybe it's a little bit of a play the matchups kind of situation. A
little bit, but the Padres and the Braves are the 2 lowest scoring teams in baseball.
That's amazing that the Braves are that low scoring. It'll all change when Andrelton Simmons hits second, Scott. Trust me.
By the way, last year, Henderson Alvarez had a higher ERA at home. Be sort of interested to go in the game logs, because I know it took him a little while to kind of get cooking after coming off the DL. His slash line at home was better, which also suggests that maybe there was some bad luck at home or good luck on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I'll still buy into the Herc theory.
All right, Anthony Rendon. 169 in May with a home run, 5 RBI, 8 runs, 1 steal, 6 walks, 13 strikeouts, a double and a triple in 18 games. Still the top 5, the number 5 and a top 5 third baseman. There we go. But number 10 second baseman in points, number 11 in Roto. Is this a worrisome sign here or just a slump for Anthony Rendon?
I'm going to say it's just a slump.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I will too.
Okay, what else from yesterday?
All right, totally fantasy relevant here. Troy Tulowitzki, he was accused of stealing signs.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. I don't know if he was, hiding in the Marlins home run thing or what the deal was. So the next game after the accusation was made, he walked up to Ace of Base. I saw the sign.
No way.
Way.
Good for him. That's really clever. That's very clever.
So that's walk-up song of the day number 1.
There you go. anything else? Or we can just end the show on that, actually.
Yeah. We talked about Xander Bogaerts a little on Fantasy Baseball Today, yesterday, and he homered.
Sure did.
Later that day, that afternoon, in fact. And that caused me to look at his game log and notice that over his last 10 games, he's hitting .378 with 2 home runs, 3 doubles, and a triple. And he's had the high on-base percentage all season, so it was just a matter of if he ever adds power to that, he's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And at least lately here, it seems like he is. And I mentioned on the show, and I looked back at Hanley Ramirez's game log to make sure. And in his rookie season, it was a good 2.5 month stretch where he had, around a 700 OPS, just a handful of home runs. And then by the end of the season, it was well over 800, 17 home runs. Everybody knew he was going to be a stud from that point forward. So I could see kind of a mid-season breakout happening for Bogarts here too. If for some reason somebody let him go in one of your leagues, you might not want to wait too long to pick him up.
Yeah. In a one shortstop league, though, like if you were plugging in the Solartes and the Peraltas, guys like that, Everett Cabrera, whatever.
It would, Bogarts would, and you know the one shortstop leagues, it's usually head-to-head, so I like to stash my bench with pitchers. I think Bogarts, for the upside he has, eligible at the two weakest positions in fantasy, he is a player who even in that format I would be willing to stash on my bench.
How about Jimmy Rollins or Xander Bogarts?
I think I'd make the upside move with Bogarts.
Yeah, me too.
All right, I want to talk more about Rollins a little bit later. Boston has lost 7 in a row. Kind of crazy. Moving along. Anything else, guys, or shall we?
Let's talk about the Moustakas situation.
All right, Mike Moustakas got sent down.
Yeah. Were you the one who said Moose is now in the caboose?
I did not. Wish I had.
Maybe that was Scott. Somebody clever said
that. Yeah, I said that. Yeah. I'll take credit for that.
No, it was me, actually. It was me.
So, yeah, so Moustakas sent down. Danny Valencia now would seem to be in line for full-time third base at bats. And I find that pretty interesting because he had a very unexpected power spike in limited play with the Orioles last season. And you can say much better park last year for his home games than this year. But his power was split pretty evenly home and away. Maybe the division helped there. But,
yeah, he just stinks against righties, Al. Slugging .316 against righties.
How many bats? I mean, not that really I'm going to dispute that, but maybe that stat.
Yeah, it's probably limited because Moustakas was obviously getting the at-bats. But I went back. Okay, I'll go ahead and look it up while you finish your thought on Valencia, who's owned in 4% of leagues.
Yeah, so definitely a lot more now just based on the playing time alone.
19 at bats.
Yeah.
Let me look up 2013 then.
So yeah, Valencia just hasn't played much, period.
Slug 422. 203, 250, 422 against righties. And he mashed against lefties. 371, 392, 639. That was last year.
But it's not like the ISO against righties, the differential between the slugging and the batting average.
Yeah, let's see.
What was the slugging again?
The slugging was, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The ISO was 219.
Yeah,
that's good, right?
Which is very good. So, yeah, I'm not saying, you know, make him your starting third baseman in a 12-team mixed points league, but definitely needs to be owned in all AL only and some deeper mixed leagues.
Let's
at
talk
minimum.
Bullpens. Grant Balfour blew a save and 2 more walks, which gives him 18 walks in 18 and a third to only 15 strikeouts. 6 walks in his last 4 outings. Juan Carlos Oviedo has allowed 3 earned runs in 14 and two-thirds this year. All 3 came in one outing. Joel Peralta's thrown 6 straight scoreless outings, but he has allowed 4 home runs this year.
And then there's Jake McGee,
right,
who the lefty who's been lights out, and a fight broke out in our 2014 Dynasty League because 2 people bid $3 on it, and the one who had the better record won him. And the guy wanted to know how waivers work, but that's neither here nor there.
Interesting.
My thoughts as this fight was going on, and I had to sort it out as the commish, was I don't know that McGee's the guy anyway.
Right.
You mentioned Oviedo here, just you know, to refresh everybody's memories. That's the artist formerly known as Leo Nunez, who was the Marlins closer
right.
a few years back. And because he has that history and is off to a good start, I think there's a good chance he's the one who steps in here for Balfour, and we never mentioned him before. It makes perfect sense. Balfour now 18 walks, I think, in 18 and a third innings. He's just been terrible. He's going to start costing them more and more games if this continues.
Yeah, but they invested a lot in him, so.
They did, but I don't know, man. They're fading fast. They can't afford to keep losing.
Well, Oviedo should be on your radar for sure. Scott Acheson got a save for Cleveland in the 13th inning after Cody Allen, John Axford, and Josh Outman pitched. Still unclear who the best guy there is. But if you had to choose one, who would it be?
Still Cody Allen for me.
But I'm holding on to Axford because I think we'll get it back.
Darren O'Day struggled in the 8th with Baltimore up a run. So it looks like they were going for O'Day in the 8th and Britton in the 9th. And then O'Day you know, blew it in the eighth. It wasn't a save situation, but Britton came in and pitched a scoreless ninth and tenth.
Either way, that's good news for Britton.
I mean,
O'Day's blowing games, pitching the eighth. It's a good sign.
This changes every day. Trevor Rosenthal pitched a perfect ninth for his 14th save. Henry Mejia got his second save and pitched in back-to-back games for the first time since being moved to the bullpen. Luke Gregerson gave up a walk-off homer at Tampa Bay. I'm guessing Doolittle just needed a rest because they had a save situation there. And Gregerson, actually, no, it wasn't. It was
came in before
Gregerson.
He pitched the ninth, Gregerson?
No, this was the 13th or something.
Okay, that's right.
Guy's name starts with an O. Why am I blanking on his last name? Whatever.
Oh, Otero.
Otero came in. He blew the save to for a tie game, and then Gregerson came in with two men on and gave up a three-run homer. But that was extra innings. I don't know if that was the 13th or the 11th or whatever the heck it was. Ronald Belisario, another save for the White Sox, but that's two saves now, and he gave up at least a run in each. He gave up two in this one, one earned, didn't look very good. And there's that. Daniel Webb pitched a scoreless eighth. Thoughts on the White Sox real quick?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it looks bad that these two saves were far from clean. But I don't know. I don't think he was that bad.
Last night?
Yeah.
Oh, he was. I watched it. I mean, he got a little bit lucky on the strikeout call. He was wild. You know, I've never seen a pitch before. And he's got like a sinker. It moves all over the place. So his control was terrible yesterday. He struck out Soriano looking. Pretty questionable call. Maybe a strike, but I was surprised he got the call. And that would have been ball four. It was a 3-2 count. That would have walked another guy.
He was lucky they had a 3-run lead in
this game.
Yeah.
And he was lucky they had a 2-run lead in the last game. He's brought it right down to the last run he had to play with.
Pitches the score.
Well, put it this way. I picked up both Belisario and Webb, and I am not dropping Webb.
Yeah, no, I think that if you're in a situation where you can't just avoid the situation altogether,
right,
that's probably the way to go.
Mark Melancon got another save for Pittsburgh, but he walked two again and really expected back this weekend. And Carlos Villanueva got a three-inning save for the Cubs. All right, injuries, news, and notes, part one. Carlos Gomez was out with a back issue. He's been dealing with that for over a week. The White Sox feel like Jose Abreu could return as soon as he's eligible from that ankle injury. An Arizona first baseman in the minor leagues, John Griffin, homered in five straight at-bats over two games. Does he matter?
I have never heard of him.
Okay. I'm glad you said that.
All right.
I don't have to always be the one to say it.
That he's, you know, that
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, let's look up his numbers.
Yeah, that's what
maybe,
they do.
Maybe he'll start to matter. I hadn't heard of Paul Goldschmidt before I heard of Paul Goldschmidt.
There you go. Pittsburgh DFA'd Wandy Rodriguez. Brandon Compton or Jeff Locke could take his spot in the rotation. Are you interested in either Brandon Compton or Jeff Locke?
And I'll only for Compton, nowhere for Locke. And it's got to be Compton.
Yeah.
Because Locke pitched last night for AAA Indianapolis, so he'd be on short rest to fill Wandy's spot. So Compton lines up on just the right amount of rest, and I would fully expect him to start and to get two starts.
Matt Cain has a hamstring strain, but he might make his next start. Manny Machado left yesterday's game early with a groin injury. Buck Showalter said it was precautionary. Robbie Erlin's on the DL with elbow soreness, expected to miss 2 to 3 starts. Tim Stauffer will take his place. George Springer could be back today. He didn't play yesterday. Chris Sale and Alex Cobb both came off the DL, and both were pretty good. And Scott,
pretty good.
Yeah, I'll get to that.
All right.
Scott, you said that David Price is going to win the Cy Young in the AL, and
yeah,
Max Scherzer was the only competition, and I blanked at the same time. I spaced on this one, too. But we both overlooked Chris Sale because he was on the DL at the time. But as long as he doesn't miss any more starts, Chris Sale could win the Cy Young.
I don't know. It's going to be how many – he's going to have a hard time getting to 200 innings, and it's unless it's just a runaway in terms of percentages, it'll be hard for a pitcher who – is that short on innings to win, I think.
He didn't miss that much time, did he?
He missed how many starts?
He's about 30 innings short, probably, of what Price and Scherzer are at, I would guess.
Yeah, and they're not going...
They might go 220.
They might go 220.
He might go 190.
Yeah, he might go 190, but that's... I think that'll hurt his chances.
It'll hurt his chances, but he's awesome. 4-0, 1.89 ERA last night. No walks, 10 strikeouts, one hit in only 86 pitches in six innings. Alex Cobb, 6 2/3, three hits, no runs, two walks, six Ks. He's got a 1.40 ERA. He's been very good, but obviously very limited. 25 and only four starts this year. Seth Smith homer. We talked about that. Danny
and you
Wirth
called it yesterday. Well, I don't know if you called the homer, but you called him a good start.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'd say right. And he's facing a righty.
And I called Mike Holt a good start, and I think he went 0-4.
That's what he does. He either goes 0-4 or he goes 1-4 with a homer.
Yeah, you roll the dice on a home run or not, basically.
Detroit shortstop Danny Wirth pitched in relief, and he threw knuckleballs, and he looked good. That thing was dancing.
Yeah, he might as well. Maybe he should switch. He's not so good at the hitting.
I think the Tigers need him more again, the relief role.
Matt Adams sat against the lefty. He's batting 135 against lefties. Is this a significant development for you guys?
It's got my attention. Not doing anything about it yet, but I'm not happy.
Yeah. And I think maybe I'm reaching here, but could be interesting news for Tavares if they decide we start sitting Adams against lefties. Tavares is a righty, isn't he?
Oscar Tavares?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Let's look that up.
I should know that. And I don't. I'm kind of thinking he's a lefty. But.
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of thinking he's a lefty now, too, just thinking about those pictures that we have behind us on set.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, if he were a righty, Sid Adams, put Craig at first base and play.
good visual memory there.
He's a lefty.
He's a lefty.
Yeah, so. All right, rewind the podcast. Never mind. James Paxton's going to make a rehab start on Saturday. Let's take a look at the most added and most dropped players in CBSSports.com leagues. A very interesting list that I forgot to print out for you guys. So you're going to have to do it off memory as I read out the roster trends. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Your most added players are A.J. Pollock, who I know we've talked about on the video show, but not really much here, except a little bit from Herc, I think. A.J. Pollock, Sean Doolittle, Drew Hutchison, Zach Britton, and Garrett Jones, who sat for a lefty yesterday. Thoughts on those five? Not all of them, but Pollock, Doolittle, Hutchison, Britton, Jones.
Yeah, I took another look at A.J. Pollock's numbers. Scott, after you had commented, I think on the show, that you saw some, I think, like fifth outfielder potential there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I just, can't quite get there because my impression of him was always, even with regular play, maybe a deeper league guy, and maybe it's just the lack of power. Like, so if you project the steals for him, I suppose so, but...
I think he has enough power for double-digit home runs. And I think what surprised me about him was that he, looking at his minor league track record, and even really last year in the majors with the strikeout rate, much better contact hitter and much better base stealer than I thought. So double-digit home runs might be all he needs.
Okay.
All right, but still, probably a little bit over-owned now at 60%.
I do think so, yeah.
Maybe a lot. Because
what Scott's talking about, I think, is possible, but I also feel like that's the best case scenario.
Okay, Drew Hutchison, we like. Garrett Jones, 52% owned.
I'd say he's over-owned, but people are looking for a replacement first baseman. He's probably one of the better ones at this point.
That's the thing. I mean, there's so many that are must-start, basically, that, having just picked out the starts and sits at first base for the start-sit hitters column, He's up there among those that could reasonably be on waivers.
Now, would you drop him, even if he had to take a hit for a few weeks, maybe even a month, for that guy, that Kendrys Morales?
Well, I thought maybe you were going to say John Griffin.
Oh, yeah. If it wasn't a situation where I had to start him right now and take zeros there, I would. I'd take the chance on Morales.
Right. Back to the most added list. Excuse me. Dallas Keuchel, Phil Hughes, Seth Smith, Danny Duffy, David Murphy, Trevor Bauer, Jason Mott. I asked this yesterday on our video show. I'll ask it here on our podcast. Duffy's owned in 29% of leagues. Do you feel like he might be the next Drew Pomeranz, the next Dallas Keuchel, the next must-own guy that you should get now before it's too late?
I don't know that I would go quite that far, but I think that he's way under-owned at this point.
29%.
And I think he's got the Astros next week. I can look that up real quick. He does have the Astros next week.
Yeah, I just wish he'd... I mean, we've seen it before, the strikeouts. but we're not seeing it now, and he's back to walking, guys. So it's like there's upside there, and if that's all you're looking for, then yeah, he's better than some of what's available, but I don't know that a breakthrough is imminent.
So you're going to take Phil Hughes over him?
Yeah.
Would you guys rather have Phil Hughes or Alfredo Simon?
Hughes or Simon? Yeah, Hughes.
How about Harang or Hughes?
Hughes.
Hughes in the vacuum for this week, Harang.
Okay. How about Danny Duffy or Jaime Garcia?
I think I'll go Duffy there.
Oh, and I'm the Garcia guy. Surprised me. Yeah, I was going to go Duffy too.
By the way, I dropped Duffy yesterday for Sean Doolittle in a points league.
You got to pick up Doolittle.
Yeah, even in a points league where you're only starting two relief pitchers and some of them could be starting pitchers, Doolittle could be so awesome and get a lot of saves. All right, most drop list. Here's the first guy on the most drop list was picked up by Scott White.
Oh, really?
Danny Salazar. You picked him up in our deep 14-team podcast league
with
categories.
$13 bid, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I really wanted him. It is a 420-players-owned league, so scarce waiver wire, and I need pitching. So I'm crossing my fingers and hoping he figures something out at AAA and eventually, well, maybe very soon, steps in for Zach McAllister.
I'll give you Tanaka. Let's make a trade.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Salazar for Tanaka.
I'm in. I think if you had dropped Tanaka, I would have spent every last dollar I had.
Probably would have had to.
Yeah.
Tommy Hunter was dropped. Oh, and just so everyone's clear, I would not trade Tanaka for Danny Salazar. Martin Perez was dropped. Chris Colabella, we're done with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Zach McAllister, down 18%. Done with him?
Yeah, I was kind of done before I was started.
Jose Fernandez and Matt Lindstrom and Prince Fielder. Will Middlebrooks, worth stashing? Or worth adding when he's off the DL, Will Middlebrooks?
Middlebrooks?
Yeah.
I don't think so. No, I probably wouldn't bother outside of AL only.
He won't be an everyday player once Steven Drew's in the fold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might play against lefties, but even that's not for sure.
Alex Wood down from 88% to 74%. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Well, I wish people would hold on to him. I think he's going to be back sooner than later, and we saw how good he can be as a starter. I mean, 74% doesn't sound like insanely low or anything. But I haven't dropped him in any of the leagues where I own him.
Yasmani Grandal down from 31% to 20%. Still have good value in a two-catcher league?
I mean, not especially. Not any more than I think some of the players that you could get off of waivers.
Would you rather have Jaramil Pinto?
I think I would because there's playing time issues for both, and Pinto's just been so much more productive when he's been in.
Yeah.
I agree.
And Carlos Beltran. I would like for them to say he's out 2 months so I can drop him. But right now he's still owned in 82% of leagues, down 9%. But I could see it. Three outfielder league. I mean, that's where I'd drop him in a three outfielder league, not a five outfielder league. But I don't feel like he's worth a DL spot if you don't have one free. If he's out 2 months or more.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah,
I feel you.
Okay. Gonna have to skip around in the rotation here. There's a section I call food for thought. I just did this a little bit last month. Kind of forgot about it. Is Jimmy Rollins very underrated?
Very underrated.
I put the word "very" in there for a reason.
Sorry, and the way I said that made it sound like a.
You agree?
I was pondering, pondering the question.
Well, weren't you?
I don't feel like I need to ponder. I don't think he is that underrated. I think maybe a little, but I also feel like perception's catching up to the performances here.
Okay, well, he's the number five shortstop right now in fantasy. Last year he was bad, but the two previous years Rollins was good. So really, if you consider this year, you're talking about three of the last 4 years being a must-start, you know, almost elite shortstop, not Tulowitzki or anything, but we're talking like a top five, top six shortstop.
And my biggest issue was, okay, huge regression last year, and he's 35. But then you look at Derek Jeter, and there came a point where he looked like he had fallen off too, and then had this resurgent season in, was it 2012, 2011?
He led the league in hits.
Yeah.
I think it was 2012.
So, I mean, Brolins has had a very good career and has the kind of talent where I wouldn't be surprised if he, showed he still has something in the tank, and he seems to be showing it.
Okay, then. Will Josh Harrison have a say in the Pittsburgh right field situation?
Massachusetts.
Is that a place?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that? Will Josh Harrison have a say? Boy, he can make some seriously incredible play. He makes catches like... You see the Puig catch yesterday, by the way?
No.
That was one of the coolest catches. You got to look that up. But
I
Josh Harrison, pretty amazing, too.
They said something similar.
That was so cool. The Mets gave him a standing ovation. Mets fans gave him a standing... Not the Mets players. The fans.
Wow.
All right, Harrison, thoughts?
Of their options, I actually like him the best, but he's just a seat warmer for Polanco. So, I mean, when you say, will he have a say, I think he'll have a big say until they decide to bring up Polanco.
You know, I think I oversold Jimmy Rollins' 2011 season just a bit.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah,
he missed some time, but it wasn't. He only slugged 399 that year.
Yeah.
He had 16 home runs. I mean, he could have hit 20 home runs if he had played 150-something games.
Yeah.
Well,
but 2 years ago, he was like
really good.
Basically elite. So,
is Alex Wood definitely going to join the Braves rotation?
Definitely. I'm going to say yeah at some point, because I feel like this was half, okay, Aaron Harang's been too good to take out, and half, well, we need to save his innings anyway, so we might as well do it now. But it's not like they want him to be a reliever forever, and if they leave him in the bullpen too long, keep those innings down too long, then they'll have the same problem with innings next year. So for that reason alone, I think they're going to want to find a chance to get him back in at some point.
Will Eric Campbell or Lonnie Chisenhall be able to help owners who need help at third base?
I don't think much, but I give Chisenhall a chance at it because maybe he is finally breaking out. But I feel like it's early to just jump on that and put your faith in him for the rest of the season.
Okay. And Sonny Gray has 3 games of 3 strikeouts in his last 4 starts. Is that worrisome?
If you want it to be. I don't. I think he's good and doesn't seem worth worrying about to me.
Are you guys ever going to make a trade with me again? Because
you ripped us off.
Salazar for Gray and Gomez and Braun for Gomez, and I just feel bad that, you know, it's either the DL or the minors.
Yeah, it's bad so far. I'm not ready to close the book on that trade.
Oh, I am ready to close the book. There's no way, unless barring injury, there's no way Danny Salazar is going to be better than Sonny Gray from the time we made the trade.
Well, that is going to be hard for him to pull off.
Yeah.
Okay, no question. But you know, we're not even a third through the season. So
I know, but come on. Like, you can't realistically think that Salazar is going to have... Maybe he'll have a better impact when he comes back.
Well, yeah.
But still, I mean, there's a big chunk of time.
We don't know how big.
No, I mean, from the time we made the trade to the time he's good, if he's good.
If he comes back, let's say he comes back in about a month.
Okay.
Okay, so a little more than half the season he pitches. Let's say he pitches just like he did last season, and Gray pitches the way I think he will, which will be good. But I think not as good as Salazar. I think Salazar could still win that trade for me. That's a lot of things that would have to break right. But I'm just saying, to say he'd win the trade for you.
Yeah, you might be out of the race by the time that happens. How are you
to
doing?
To say he'd win
league?
The trade for you would mean that the rest of your team would have to be really, would have to be keeping
no,
you
no,
afloat, because Salazar's a zero for you right now.
Okay.
And he's a roster spot that you're not going to drop him.
Yeah, and then we can get into all the complications of looking at who I'm filling his spot with and how that pitcher's performing and blah, 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 blah. But if you just boil it down to the two players and rest of season stats, I'm not ready, as bad as it looks right now, I'm not ready to say, yeah, you won that trade.
I am. And here's why. Because, like, I get your point. I mean, Salazar could come back and for the last 3 months of the year be better than Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
But I still think, even if that's the case, unless Gray just completely
sucks. And I don't expect Gray to do that.
Yeah, I still think I win the trade. I mean, he's going to be more valuable than Salazar from the point that we made. Like, in terms of fantasy points, this is a points league. There's no way you could see Salazar outscoring Gray from the time we made the trade, which was last month.
Right, no, he won't. But, again, I don't know who I replaced Salazar with off the top of my head. But maybe, you know, you factor that in there, and I think it could be close.
I see what you mean. Let's do your planners, guys, your start sits, and we'll come back to the notes and the emails after that. Scott, you want to get us going with the best and worst hitting matchups of next week? And remember, no show Monday, so this is important. Listen up, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yes, the best matchups. I'm going to start with the Twins. Even though they face Darvish and Tanaka, the other five games, the matchups are so bad that I think they're going to have a good week. I also like the Royals, Astros, Phillies, and the New York Mets, who are facing six righties in their seven games. So Curtis Granderson, who is
310 and triple yesterday.
Yeah, 310 with five home runs in May. Definitely looks like a good start for this upcoming week. Some others who could possibly benefit from those matchups. I mentioned the Astros in there, and Jason Castro has started to pick things up after a slow start to the season. Trevor Plouffe, I mentioned the Twins, he's also started to pick things up here recently. So I think both of them are good starts, as well as Dexter Fowler. Dexter Fowler is like dramatically underowned for the way he's performed over the last few weeks. So might want to have him on your radar. Some bad matchups this week include the Athletics, the Mariners, the Marlins, the Cubs, and the Colorado Rockies, who are away from Coors Field for all six of their games.
Starters to Blackman.
Start Blackman.
How many lefties?
One.
Okay.
But even so, I think I'd start him because can't imagine them sitting him, you know, for half a week or something.
That would right.
Not even Walt Weiss would be that crazy. but I mentioned Castro as a starting catcher. Somebody you might sit so that you can get Castro on your lineup is Derek Norris, who was the hot hand just a couple weeks ago, hasn't been so much recently, and they have the worst matchups. Five righties, so there is some chance he could sit in some of those games, especially if he continues to slump. I mentioned the Mariners had bad matchups, and somebody who had been in the two obvious category the last few weeks really hasn't done much the last one or two, Kyle Seager. Think might be time to shy away from him again, especially since the matchups work out so that there are some pretty good sleepers at first base. I mentioned Plouffe already.
Third base,
yeah. Right. Plouffe already, Matt Dominguez, who's been hot. The Padres weren't in the best matchups, but they do have good matchups, so Chase Headley's a decent sleeper. Danny Valencia for the Royals, good matchups, if you need to go deeper there. I'm not sure I'd sit Seager for Valencia, but he is another good sleeper at the position for this week.
Al, two-star pitchers. I got three pages of two-star pitchers.
Yeah, I was going to say, so many of them.
That's a busy week.
Yeah, and you add Brandon Compton to that list, which I would. That's 50
Whoa.
Out there right now. And there's going to be some flux, maybe, you know, give or take one or two. But, yeah, a lot. And a lot of good ones, too, who are already starting. So.
Okay, well, let me just go through this first page here, which is players. They're all studs.
All right, well, yeah, let me just get to a few notes.
Yeah, all right.
Because, like I saw, we have a question here about Jacob DeGrom.
Uh-huh.
G should be back by the end of the week. So I'm betting, even though we technically he's a two-star guy, I'm betting on DeGrom as a one-star pitcher. So if you have any question about him, I would not start DeGrom this week. Some people, I think yourself included, were worried about Alfredo Simon. Latos is supposed to make three rehab starts starting this Sunday. That obviously does not put him on track. So I think Simon is safe. And
he's got two road starts at the Dodgers and at the Diamondbacks.
Yeah. And
he's been great on the road.
Probably not too many people worried about Eric Stoltz, but in a deeper league, if you are, just keep in mind that Andrew Cashner would be eligible to come back sometime this week.
Well, there you go.
And take away a start.
All right, first page here. Guys owned in 85% of leagues or more. Just tell me if you would sit any of these guys. Darvish, Greinke, Scherzer, Gray, Cueto, Lester, Weaver, Waka, Hamels, Lance Lynn, Burley, Yordano Ventura, Tyson Ross, Loesch, Samardzija, Irvin Santana, Tim Hudson, and Aaron Harang.
Actually, the only one that I would consider sitting is Burley. And okay. I'll still have him on the bubble list, so he's certainly, you know, a defensible guy to start. But given how many two-star pitchers there are and that you don't have an infinite number of pitcher slots in your league, most likely, that he could lose out in the numbers game.
You would absolutely start Harang?
Yes, I would. Well, let me look again because see where I've got him on the list.
Cubs, I think?
No, he's got the Red Sox and the Red Miami. Sox.
Yeah. Now, I say absolutely. If you're talking about like a 10-team league, no, I wouldn't. But anything deeper, I actually would.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would also definitely start Waka for now, even though he might miss.
Oh, the elbow thing, yeah.
Yeah, miss a start there. And, you know, Kane, I think you mentioned Kane already, but he's in a similar situation where he could miss a start.
How about Chris Tillman? Can we roll the dice on Tillman, or is it too risky at Milwaukee and at Houston? And Milwaukee seems like actually a pretty good matchup right now.
Yeah, but I feel like Tillman is risky. There's so many really good options this week.
Simon, Drew Smyly at Oakland and at Seattle.
Is he actually going to get two starts this time?
Yeah, what do you think, Al?
I'm a fool for doing it. I think this really is the week because the Tigers do not have a day off. As things are scheduled right now, Smyly could still get pushed back one day and still make two starts. So I think this is the time.
Okay, so, you know, there are so many names. We can't go through them like this. Just tell me who you guys would be afraid to start. Hutchinson's got two home starts. He's got an ERA over 7 and 3 starts at home. Only 3 starts, but he's been really good lately. Phil Hughes, Texas at home and at the Yankees. He has somewhat of a history at Yankee Stadium, and it's somewhat bad.
Understatement of the day number 1.
Yeah, exactly. Just throw out some names. I don't want to steal all your thunder here.
I'm a little scared to start Smyly because the on-again, off-again, pitched out of the bullpen last night, or yesterday, rather. So he's on the bubble list, but kind of low there. That at Yankee start for Hughes is pretty terrifying to me. I would prefer not to start Hughes. Simon is safe to make the two starts, but the Dodgers are a scary matchup for me, to me right now, I should say. I'm not facing the Dodgers, so they're not scary for me. but I'd be a little reluctant to start Simon as well. And Clay Buchholz, in an earlier draft of my rankings, I had in the last spot on the bubble list, but he gone.
Yeah, that cannot
get him out of there.
Wade Miley, San Diego and Cincinnati at home.
Meh.
Yeah, he's been bad at home.
How about same matchups for Brandon McCarthy?
McCarthy, I really wanted to find a place for him on the top half of the bubble list. Couldn't quite squeeze him in there, but I would start McCarthy.
I think Roenis Elias is like the most overowned player. It's only 45% owned, but I just think it's silly. He's had one great start.
He's starting to look Dubrontish.
10 starts this year. He's got 3 quality starts.
Yeah.
Everybody saw what he did against the Yankees and went nuts. Nice, you got to start, right?
Yeah.
Skaggs? Roark?
I would start Skaggs. Roark. Roark might be harder to get in. Like, it's hard to. Like, I'm not pitching an ace to get a 2-start Roark in, but.
All of a sudden, though, it looks like he's got some good matchups here because Texas.
Yeah.
At least isn't like a terrifying matchup, and Miami's his other one.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. So I would start either Roark or Skaggs.
How about Wei-Yin Chen?
No way.
All right, then. How about the deeper leagues?
I want one more guy because I think he could be a polarizing force on the show. Yeah. I would start Nate Eovaldi this week. I'd give him one more shot with 2 starts.
At Washington versus Atlanta.
Yeah,
I feel that.
Confirm
I feel
the
that,
Atlanta
dog.
Matchup is good.
I do feel like the Atlanta matchup is good, and the Nationals one isn't terrible.
Yeah, the Nationals.
And there's been some good and bad in those last 3 starts that haven't been great overall. So
him or Roark?
I actually have him ranked 1 spot ahead of Roark.
Oh, him or Skaggs?
2 spots ahead of Skaggs.
Ah. It's
He's got you right on the money. All right, this last list here of pitchers, deeper leagues. Give us some guys to target that have two starts. Unless there are none.
Okay, well.
You know what?
Yeah.
Can I throw a name out there? Look, he's behind all those other guys, I'm sure, but I'm kind of taking a second look at Colin McHugh because his last start really was quite good, and at Kansas City seems like a good matchup. You know, Baltimore, not as good, but.
Versus Baltimore.
Yeah.
Better.
Okay.
At home.
Okay. So.
I like this week for Colin McHugh.
You like it. Okay. Yeah. So I'm kind of on the right scent there. I'm not sure I'd drop anyone to pick up a two-start McHugh, but he's back on my radar after that last start. It was awfully impressive.
Yeah, I know, but he's still a kind of journeyman-y kind of guy.
Oh, I know.
Changes arsenal and throws 90 miles per hour or whatever.
I'm just saying he's back on my radar, and if I had him on my roster because it was that deep of a league, I think I'd start him.
Anyone else, Al?
All right, so you're saying for deep leagues?
Yeah, anyone worth a flyer.
Yeah, because not for standard mixed leagues, but deeper leagues. I like Chris Young with the two home starts.
Okay, let's do some emails to finish it off. Chris wants to know, 12-team head-to-head points league, which one of these two-star pitchers should I add? Nick Tepish, or Jacob DeGrom? And DeGrom would be a one-star pitcher most likely, but would you rather have a one-star DeGrom or a two-star Tepish?
Yeah, I think I'd rather have two-star Tepish.
From Matt in Atlanta, approve the move. I drop Chris Davis with a K. I pick up Oscar Tavares.
Oh, I'm approving that. Rather stash Tavares for the upside than Davis for the maybe upside.
Yeah, I don't really want to drop Davis, but you make me choose. I'll take Tavares.
Jeremy in Dallas, 12-team roto waiver wire options. Who do you like for DH once they're called up or signed? Morales, Singleton, or Tavares?
Well, Morales has the highest floor. And so I think if it's a roto league and you have the corner infield spot, I'd probably go for the highest floor there. And it could end up being a high ceiling if it's a place like Texas, a good hitter's park.
Agreed.
All right, next up, Adam in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hello, Gibbs, Tony, and McGee.
No clue. I don't know.
I have Jay Bruce. Got to drop someone when I activate him. Desmond Jennings, Aoki, Brantley, Solarte, Marlon Byrd, or Carlos Gonzalez. Head-to-head categories. Who are you dropping?
I'm dropping Aoki.
I am too. Categories.
And Catch 22 guy says, "Hey, Jimmy, Lenny, and Guy."
Jimmy, Lenny, and Guy. No, it's not working for me.
Well, Guy Frieri is a chef. I have a friend named Jimmy who's a chef.
Really?
So it could be famous and not famous chefs.
Well, there was famous and not famous chefs.
Lenny's sub shop around here.
Okay.
So there we go. I think we figured it out. I'm the guy who asked about Homer Bailey a few weeks back. He's had a couple good starts, but I had a bail on him because I'm planning to keep Syndergaard and Alex Wood. Got them both for cheap, and I'm stashing Paxton because I think he's the real deal. Paxton's costing me a spot because seat's taken on my DL. I'm also hanging on to Smiley. What do you guys think? There's no way I would have dropped Bailey in that scenario. Neither would you have.
No.
But who would you drop if you could get Bailey back?
Paxton.
Yeah.
Instead of Syndergaard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's one of my favorite prospect stashies.
You know, Jimmy, Lenny, and Guy.
There's a little memento
connection there, but I don't think that can be
it.
Oh. Because Guy Pearce played Leonard Shelby, who the friend called Lenny. So Guy and Lenny.
It's that thing you do.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. It wasn't a bad guess, though. How about the other one? Gibbs. Spelled it wrong. Gibbs, Tony, and McGee.
McGee, as opposed to Muggy.
What the heck is this?
I don't know. The suspense.
NCIS.
Oh.
Well,
okay.
We're bad employees.
Well, I don't know why I took Scott as an NCIS guy.
I don't know why he did either. It seems like a total waste of time show to me.
Oh, Scott. You might have to go talk to HR after that one. All right. We're out of here, everybody. Have a great weekend. Mailbag show recorded today, airing Monday. See you then.